From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. This month, we've been exploring the legacy of the Supreme Court's ruling 50 years ago in Brown v. Board of Education. That decision's powerful repudiation of unequal access to public education is challenged today in places like California by the realities of demographics. Today, in the second part of our series, NPR's Claudio Sanchez reports from a Los Angeles high school where nearly all the students are Latino. He found that a half a century after Brown, segregation has as much to do with economics as it does with ethnicity.
As you drive around Theodore Roosevelt High School looking for an entrance, you realize it takes up at least 5 square city blocks, and it's still too small for the 5,200 students enrolled here, which is why 40 double-wide trailers permanently occupy what used to be a football field. It's easy to get lost here. Administrators, in fact, have a name for kids who do. Los desaparecidos, the disappeared. It's a catch-all term for the 6 out of 10 kids who drop out, and the 8 out of 10 who arrive so far behind academically they can't catch up. No more than 10% of the students who graduate from Roosevelt ever make it to a 4-year college. This academic meltdown didn't happen overnight, but for some reason, local and state education officials waited years before they intervened. Tom Nichols was hired last summer to preside over an academic audit of the school, akin to shock therapy.
Yeah, it's jolted many people. You couple that with logistics and facilities and our crowding here, which I'll show you more about later, and it makes it a challenge for any classroom teacher.
Let's get a snapshot of what it takes to run this place,
okay,
just logistically.
We're right now in the assistant principal's office. It's one of the administrative offices here in the administrative building.
Nichols, who came from one of L.A.'s better schools, Hollywood High, says everything and everyone here at Roosevelt is now under a microscope. Kids, teachers, administrators, security, schedules, budgets.
I think if I sat down every day and realized how complicated it was, I might not be here. We all have to remind each other of the big picture and what we're really trying to accomplish here, and that's instruction.
As we make our way through a maze of 80-year-old Art Deco-style buildings, I ask Nichols whether Roosevelt's dismal academic performance is due to the fact that it's segregated, almost 100% Mexican-American. No, he says. 50 years ago, Brown v. Board of Education made race the central issue. Today, schools are segregated by class. In other words, says Nichols, if Roosevelt had mostly affluent, middle-class Mexican-American students instead of low-income kids who haven't been in this country very long, Roosevelt High would perform a lot better and be perceived very differently.
What would we be talking about today if this was one of the higher-achieving or better-achieving schools? Would we have people of other ethnic groups saying, hey, how come I can't go to Roosevelt? Would we be turning away students?
A top-notch academic program that holds kids to high standards. That's what Roosevelt has to offer to attract a diverse student body, says Nichols.
We're far from that. Easier said than done.
Nichols says the state's takeover plan is a start. Not everybody at Roosevelt High, though, has bought into that plan. The resistance, as well as some of the obstacles, are evident in Marta Guerrero's 11th grade history class. Absenteeism is a problem, but 25 kids show up today, which means everybody will at least have a place to sit. All of Guerrero's students should have textbooks, but half don't, because they haven't been delivered and may not arrive for months. Although that may not matter, because Guerrero hates the textbooks she's been told to use, not to mention the state-mandated history curriculum. Both ignore students of Mexican ancestry, she says.
They don't see themselves in the curriculum, so some of us try to modify the curriculum so that it is applicable to them and it engages them and shows interest.
Modifying the history curriculum means replacing it with something else. Today, for example, the lesson plan involves a mural walk with a friend of Guerrero's, a young man in his early 20s who only gives his first name, Hector. He describes himself as an activist who wants nothing more than to open kids' eyes to their indigenous culture.
It's either you accept your culture or just sell out.
Hector takes the class on a 45-minute tour of the remarkable mural that wraps around Roosevelt's main building. It's a local artist's apocalyptic rendition of the conquest and colonization of the Americas. Hector stops a few times to lecture students. Much of your education has been one big lie after another, he tells them.
We don't have our nation, we don't have nothing. We're still being controlled by the Europeans to this day. So whoever, you know, your little Mexican flags, that's not our flag.
The flag represents a colonial identity. It's a flag that was put together by the criollos.
Doesn't mean nothing.
Guerrero and Hector finish each other's sentences. Students yawn and move on without asking a single question. And while Guerrero believes that this is the version of history that belongs in California's state curriculum, some of her fellow history teachers say the state tests these kids have to pass to graduate cover very different material. Privately, a few teachers say this is irresponsible. Christine Botello, a veteran English teacher, is openly critical. She says rejecting the curriculum has become an excuse for not working harder on the skills that matter most.
Well, I teach English, so I say you need to get them to read to you, because that's our biggest problem. We have approximately 75% of our kids who come into ninth grade who read below fifth grade. We have many, many, many hundreds of kids who are reading from first through third also.
Why?
I don't know.
How a student could possibly get to high school with the reading skills of an 8-year-old is a question that frustrates teachers to no end. It takes a heavy toll, says Botello.
We have 50% teacher turnover rate. You know, we have to train new teachers all the time. We have everything that's totally almost criminal in terms of education.
The way Botello sees it, Latinos in segregated schools like Roosevelt suffer in many of the same ways that segregated blacks suffered in Jim Crow schools in the South.
It doesn't hit in terms of race until they leave. You've never been around other people. So immediately your first thing is like, I'm inferior. That's the first thing you feel. That is the biggest result of this institutionalized kind of covert segregation that affects us.
The saddest part, of course, is that it didn't have to come to this.
Definitely. Definitely.
Alicia Enriquez is Roosevelt's new assistant principal. She says the lack of planning at the district level has done the most harm, allowing schools to grow out of control.
I mean, Roosevelt High School, the size that it is now, how the system ever let it get to this size is beyond me. When the schools started to increase in enrollments, why not then the decision to build new schools? Why not start looking for solutions then?
Enrique says the Los Angeles Unified School District in the last few years has targeted failing schools for more aid and lured better teachers to schools where they're needed most. But for a lot of kids, especially here at Roosevelt, says Enrique, it's too late and teachers know it.
And I think when that happens, you don't have the feeling, you don't have the corazón, you don't have the heart to really see what the problem is.
Still, there are remarkable students who are succeeding at Roosevelt High.
My name is Randy Leonel Rubin, and I am 16 years old. I am a senior in Roosevelt, and I have three older siblings and my little sister. My dad's from Guatemala. My mom's from Mexico. I have no information about my dad.
Randy is no more than 5'4", with a mop of curly black hair and a contagious smile. He has carved out his own little world at Roosevelt, befriending like-minded, ambitious students and seeking out the most demanding teachers, like Ms. Botello, his mentor. Everywhere he goes, Randy carries with him a list of SAT words.
Such as androgynous and complacent and what else?
So you carry a list of some of these words.
Yeah.
People see you practicing these words.
Uh-huh, like because, verbally, yeah.
And so what do they say to you?
They're like, so what, you think you're better than us now? Are you trying to be all cool with your words and all this stuff?
And what do you say?
I'm like, yeah. That's the only way we're going to get ahead, if we learn all these words, you know.
Randy has applied to several universities. Last year, he raised enough money selling Rice Krispie treats to help pay for a trip to New York City, where he plans to attend college.
I'm like, oh, Latino kid from East Los going to New York.
East Los.
Yeah, East Los Angeles going to New York. And it was a pretty good experience because I was exposed to how other people live, and it broke some of my stereotypes about the white population, such as them being arrogant and, you know, being racist.
Randy says a lot of kids at Roosevelt think whites are racist. That's all they hear, or that's what they've experienced living in Los Angeles, which is why it's probably good that there aren't any white students at this school, says Randy. It's hard enough getting along with your own people, he says. Randy leads me into the lunchtime crowd that's gathered in what's known as the quad.
So we're like in the center of the school. And
what are we listening to?
Spanish music, I don't know. It's a different mix of music.
It's standing room only, and if you didn't know any better, you'd swear there was a school uniform. Everybody is dressed in black. I'm not. We get stopped by school security.
Why are you out here?
Oh, I'm a reporter.
I'm
for the district.
Sure.
We just don't allow adults out on campus, but if you're cleared, you're good to go.
Yeah.
Okay?
The security guards try to act all tough, but they're not tough. When a fight goes down, they don't get involved. They just like, stop, stop, but they don't do anything.
Are there a lot of fights?
No.
Randy says there aren't as many fights as there were his first year at Roosevelt. Back then, bathroom muggings were common. Today, the bathrooms are locked most of the time. It is but one of the many indignities that reform-minded educators have vowed to remedy. From this point on, they say, Roosevelt High School will be held to the same standards that all good schools in California meet, regardless of their ethnic or racial makeup. This was actually the promise California made explicitly to Mexican-American families 57 years ago in a little-known lawsuit that argued, a paramount requisite in the American system of public education is social equality. Making the social equality of all children the litmus test by which we measure the quality of their education was a good goal for California back then. And there's probably no better time to remind people of it. Claudia Sanchez, NPR News.